Thank you, David and Missy and Tracy. For just a few minutes on Christmas Sunday, I want to speak on the subject, the prophetic word confirmed. It's the story of how light shines in a dark world. I'll begin with a scripture in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and then verses 6. The prophet spoke and said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." And then verse 6, that famous prophetic verse that centuries earlier foretold the birth of Christ. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name," I love his name, "his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Light shining for the first time in a dark world when that baby was born. A baby in the house changes everything. And you never know when a child is born what that child will mean to the world in his lifetime. Never is that statement truer than when we speak about the Christ child that was born 2,000 years ago. God Himself wrapped in flesh, presented to the world as the greatest gift ever. He changed everything when He was born. In fact, He changed the way we keep score of our dates and look at our calendar. All of the history of the world, everything that's ever happened up until this very moment and ever will happen in the future, is divided into that part of history before Christ, and then that part of our history after Christ. We celebrate significant births. In fact, every birth of a child deserves celebration. It is new life. But who else in the history of the world do we throw a celebration every year on the scale of Christmas for a baby that was born 2,000 years ago? Now, we remember certain people's birthdays. This past week or so, we celebrated Frank Sinatra's 100th birthday. God love him, he would have been 100. But 2,000 years from now, nobody will remember Frank Sinatra and be celebrating his birthday. And by the way, his birthday came and went, and he was a great deal, Frank Sinatra. But nobody decorated their homes and their yards like we do to celebrate the birth of Christ when He was born 2,000 years ago. Some of you, I've ridden by your houses. You're like the Griswolds. His birth was the most anticipated birth in the history of the world, but listen to this. It was not a surprise, because the prophets of God, down through centuries of time, recorded in the Old Testament, we still have it today, they had foretold His birth, and the world was waiting. Old Testament prophets like Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah, even David, who was a king, wrote concerning the birth that would come of the Son of God. And the Old Testament prophets spoke with clarity in specific detail. Hundreds of years before that baby was born, a prophet wrote he would be born in Bethlehem. Centuries before He was born, a prophet wrote and shook the world when he said He would be born of a virgin. Now, I wouldn't have believed that, except it was the prophetic word of God, and it came to pass. Now, I have no trouble believing that Mary was a virgin and got pregnant, and 9 months later gave birth to the Christ child. I have no problem. I have faith to believe that. That's impossible now, but I've never had a problem believing that she was pure and she was a virgin, and it happened just like God's word said it would happen. Now, I will say, however, for the record, if you come to me and tell me you are pregnant and you are a virgin, I will not believe that. I only say that to prove the point. How much faith God has given us. We have no trouble believing Mary's virginity, even though it's medically, physically, and scientifically impossible. Faith helps us believe the impossible. And a prophet gave us that word centuries before Mary became pregnant. A prophet spoke specifically that said the Christ child would be born in the tribe of Judah. Of all 12 tribes of Israel, it would be the tribe of Judah that would produce the Savior. A prophet prophesied that he would be an heir to David's throne. Another prophet said that he would be introduced to the world by a forerunner, and we would find out centuries later he was speaking of John the Baptist, who was the one that was given the honor of identifying Jesus and saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away every sin in the world." A prophet gave us that news first. Another prophet said that he would be rejected by his own people. That came to pass. Another prophet said he would be betrayed by a friend. That happened just like the prophet said. Another one said he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver, and it happened just like that. Another prophet said, hundreds of years before he was ever born, that soldiers would gamble for his clothes. Another one said he would be pierced through his hands and feet. Another prophet in the Old Testament wrote specifically in detail he would be buried with the rich. And even yet another prophet told us many years before he was even born that he would die and be raised back to life. All of those prophetic words came true when that baby was born 2,000 years ago. He was the Son of God. He was the Word of God made flesh. The Word made flesh. God still shows up when His Word is spoken. The prophets spoke the Word of God that resulted in His literal physical birth. His birth was a manifestation of the Word of God that had been spoken over and over and over by many different prophets. It's so confirmable even today. We have it written in Holy Scripture. The Word made flesh. We beheld the Word of God made flesh. He was the Son of God. He showed up because His Word was spoken. We're talking about the prophetic Word confirmed. That's what happened when the Christ child was born. So many prophecies that had been given over centuries were fulfilled at that one moment when He was born, and light began to shine in a dark place. In the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 19 says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." There it is in the Old Testament, centuries before He was born. Light will shine in a dark place. And now the Apostle Peter confirming it after the fact and celebrating the fact that the prophetic word the prophets gave us in the Old Testament is now confirmed. That light is shining. And Jesus, the morning star, rises in the hearts of all those who believe in Him. Now, it is Christmas Sunday. Indulge me for a minute. You have your memories of Christmases past, and I have mine, if I can share just a few. I remember the early Christmases in my life. Now, I'm about 60. When I turned 59 last year, I decided to, you know, anybody ask me, I'm just going to tell them, I'm about 60. I'm going to go ahead in it. Just go. So I'm about 60, but when I was a boy, growing up with my younger sister, Deborah, and my younger brother, Mike, Christmases were simple. We were blessed with all we needed, but not much more. And both of our parents were hardworking people. They worked very hard to feed us and clothe us. It was a different day back then. When Christmas came around and I was a boy, the boys back in that day really only had two choices. We got a cowboy hat and a holster and a gun, or we got an Indian outfit with a headdress and a bow and arrow. I mean, we were either a cowboy or an Indian. That was the little boys. Now, the girls had dolls and other things maybe, but I remember those Christmases. Christmas time gives us an opportunity to remember the goodness of God over our lifetime. Then I remember the first year Brenda and I were married. We got married in September. We were 3 months into our marriage for our first Christmas, and we didn't have much. I remember I gave her a little, very cheap, whatever, but I gave her a $50 bill for Christmas, and it was a great gift. We didn't have much. And the thing I remember about that Christmas, even though we had been married for 3 months, that Christmas, when I gave her that gift later that day, something was funny. She had her hair tied up and over, and it would flip a little like that. And something was funny, and she reared her head back in that hair, and she let out a belly laugh. She just giggled a good. And when I saw her do that, even though we had been married for 3 months, that was the first time I really, really knew how much I loved her. A Christmas memory. I know I loved her when I married her, but I really realized how much that day when she laughed, that laugh of hers on Christmas Day. Then when our girls were young, two girls growing up, 7 years apart, but there was a year there where it was perfect for both of them. And for Christmas, I bought them a dollhouse for the backyard. It was in the backyard where Pastor Chris and Joy Potter, is that dollhouse still there or... No, it was used when we bought it. I'm sure it's no longer around, but that's a special memory. Another Christmas memory was 1984 for us. My mother was 50 years old that year and had spent 300 days in intensive care at Duke University. And my dad dropped everything to be at her bedside around the clock, and Deborah and Mike and I, as we could, would be with her there at Duke. On that Christmas, our family celebrated around my mother's hospital bed in Durham, North Carolina, her hanging between life and death, so sick. We sang Silent Night on that Christmas with my mother sick. The year after that, she went home to be with the Lord. Heaven is real and rich for all of us now. Another Christmas was 1993 when our family lived as missionaries in the nation of Latvia. And we were 11 months into our 12-month commitment. Our year was almost over, and it was Christmas, and we were celebrating Christmas just with ourselves over there in that foreign nation after living there almost a year. And during the year, the girls had gotten very few toys. There wasn't many options. And here we are coming home next month, and the girls decided they wanted to give what toys they had collected over the year to some poor little girls. So we found a mother who was raising two girls alone there, so poor. And the girls, Brandy and Tiffany, gathered up the armful of toys they had collected over the year. And we didn't want to bring them back. It wasn't worth it. It was Christmas. They wanted to give it to two poor girls. And we went to a lady's apartment. They call them flats. She, the mother, single mom, raising two daughters in such poverty. We gave those two girls some toys that my girls had played with for the year. And they were so grateful. That mother wanted to give us something and didn't have much to give. So she went over to the kitchen area of the little one-room flat where they were living and gave us a spoon. We brought a spoon back. It was a great Christmas gift for us. We've realized at every juncture how blessed we are. And then, of course, another Christmas that will go down in the history of our mind is this one. My wife Brenda with a broken right arm. The very next day, my grandson Gideon, age 5, broke his left elbow. Nobody can travel anywhere. We can't fly there. They can't fly here. We will remember this Christmas. But we are so thankful in counting our blessings. It gives us a chance to relax just a little and remember the reason we celebrate this time of year at all. And certain words come to my mind. I'm sure they come to yours too. Every Christmas, one word is love. We celebrate with those we love. That love began with God who loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Another word that's important this time of year is joy. There seems to be a lot of joy. You can call it Christmas cheer. So much joy going around. Even atheists, heathens in the world get in. They just get on for the ride. They don't even know the full story. They're not baptized fully into it, but even they may not even believe in God, but there's so much joy in the earth this time of year. They enjoy it too. The Bible refers to it as exceedingly great joy. Anybody ever know what that's exceedingly great joy? It said when the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And then the word peace. The angels appeared to the shepherds in the field when that Christ child was born. And the angel said to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Another word that is special to us all the time, but more so at Christmas, is home. Everybody either goes home or dreams about it. At Christmas. Just a poll. How many of you are traveling away from your home this Christmas? A few of you. How many of you have family members traveling to your house this Christmas? More of you. Like the Christmas song says, I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. We either literally, really go home, or our family comes to us, or at least in our dreams, we're thinking about home. It's a special time of year. Another word, family. The Christ child promises household salvation. I'm strong on this point. My girls were taught, you were born into a Christian family. Of course you will be Christian all your life. It's household salvation. I'm going to cover you till you get big enough to make a decision for your own self. It's household salvation. He didn't just die for the head of the house. He died for everybody under the roof. Family is an important word this time of year. And then the word celebration. We decorate our homes. There's such a spirit of generosity that's prevalent, tangible, this time of year. We eat so much food this time of year. I've already decided I'm not even going to think about a diet until January 3rd. I give you permission. You can enjoy it if you want to. And then a couple of more serious words quickly. The word salvation. Christ, the Savior, is born. John the Baptist pointed him out at the river and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, I know what it is to commit sin. Some have been big. And if you're like me, you know what it feels like. I know what it is to blow it, commit a sin, and just that one sin, just one, makes me feel like I want to bow over under the pressure and the weight of guilt. Just one. But that baby that was born grew up and on a cross took the weight of every single sin that would ever be committed in the world by every single man and woman that would ever be born. All at one time, the weight of that guilt fell on him. And he did it so that holy God and sinful man could be reconciled. No other time of year other than Christmas are so many songs written and sung about that one single event, the birth of baby Jesus. One line in one song that's very familiar. Sometimes we sing these songs every year and don't realize the power in the lyrics, but God and sinners reconcile. Don't get any simpler than that. Salvation, such a powerful word all the time, but especially the year, this time of year when we celebrate the birth of the Savior. And then the final word, presence. And I'm not spelling it P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. It's P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Because of the birth of that baby that was prophesied over and over again for centuries and finally happened, the prophecy was manifest, the prophetic word was confirmed when he was born. One of his names is Emmanuel. Forever God is with us. Because of him, the presence of God is accessible for all of us. Before he was born and became the Savior of the world, nobody could get to the presence of God unless you were the high priest. And over a period of 1,500 years, there were only 50 men that served as the high priest. Imagine it, 1,500 years go by, and all total, only 50 men could get into where God was. But all of that changed because of the baby that was born. You never know when a child is born what his life will mean to the world. And that Christ child changed everything about the way we worship. Now we are no longer in a dark place, kept at a distance, unable to get into the presence of God. Now we carry him with us. We carry him everywhere we go. We are temples and tabernacles for the Spirit of God to dwell in. That's what the presence of God is all about. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Light now shines in a dark world because the prophetic word is confirmed. I'm saying to you today on Christmas Sunday, let the prophetic word of God, the word of God, it is prophetic. Let it be confirmed in your life. If you think you need a prophetic word from God, Jesus is the Word made flesh. That's what Christmas is all about. If you think you need a prophetic word from God, you need Jesus. He is the Word of God made flesh. Now, whatever issues you're dealing with, whatever darkness may be invading your life, and we live in a real world, we deal with darkness, but thank God there's a light shining in a dark world. So if you're dealing with family issues, darkness trying to choke the light of God's word out, Jesus is the Word made flesh. Let the prophetic word be confirmed in that area. Or a marriage may be struggling, or a relationship with somebody else. Some of you may be at a loss concerning your career. Darkness there, more than light. You really don't know what to do next. Let the prophetic word that was born in the baby Jesus 2,000 years ago, let it be confirmed in your life. Many of you struggling in areas of finance, or perhaps fears and insecurity about the future. You just really don't know what that would look like. Let the prophetic word be confirmed in your life. Many this time of year reflect back, and not every memory is a pleasant one. All of us have been through seasons that are not good. It's human nature to want the bad seasons we go through to end quickly and the great seasons we go through to last forever. But the Bible says God changes the times and the seasons. Daniel 2:24. And so, if you can look back like all of us can and remember times of discouragement or disappointment, even then His light can shine in that darkness and make a great difference, especially this time of year. Even on our worst days, we have so much to be thankful for. Your worst day with God is 1,000 times better than your best day without Him. Thank God His word is confirmed and light shines in a dark place. Father, I speak a blessing during this time of year, over the men and women. Even right now, I sense it in my spirit that You are at work in each of our lives, drawing us closer to You. It's an easy journey from here to there, from where we are to where You are this time of year. We just sense the power of the Christ child and His birth and life and all that that meant to the world. We sense it in such a real way, so we yield. Many of you right now sitting here, many of you right now in this presence now, just yield. Don't resist. Don't turn away. Turn toward the light that's shining. Turn toward it. Yield and be brought closer into the presence of God. This is a great time of year to do it. Celebrate at full measure all that the birth of the Christ child means to You and to the world. Father, peace and joy we release in abundance in the lives, in the homes, in the families of every member of this church. May You show up at every house and make a difference in every home. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before we go, how many of you are fans of the television show The Voice. Any fans we got out there? A few. I'm amazed that in our modern day secular agnostic society, yes, even here in America it can be described that way, that we are seeing on a national level, network level, movies like Dolly Parton's inspiring movie, which I hear they're going to replay on Christmas Day. If you missed it a couple of weeks ago, Dolly Parton's Coat of Many Colors, so faith-filled and inspirational, I recommend it. But then The Voice had its season finale this past week, and a young man named Jordan Smith won. Jordan Smith is a graduate of Lee University, a Christian university in Cleveland, Tennessee, where Paul Hudson, the son of our missionaries, Brian and Millie Hudson, graduated from Lee just a few years ago. So the winner of The Voice was crowned this past week on live television, NBC. This Christian young man won it. A few weeks before he won, he wooed the nation with his rendition of Great is Thy Faithfulness on NBC primetime. Great is Thy Faithfulness. When he sung that song live, Justin Bieber and Adele were on the top of the iTunes charts. He knocked them off within the hour and became number one. Great is Thy Faithfulness. And then just a week or so ago, I think everybody knew ahead of time he would be the winner. He sang a Christmas song. And just before we leave, let's listen to this Christian witness, a powerful young man, a great vocal gift to the world. He had been an undiscovered star, but today the nation knows who he is, and he sang a great version of a Christmas song called Mary, Did You Know?
Save our sons and daughters. Did you know?